Good evening. Please turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. Again, that is Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up.
Good evening, everyone. Glad to be with you here tonight. And as Mike said, Don, our regular evangelist, is away right now, so I'm filling in this evening for him. Appreciate the opportunity that the elders have given me. So if you would just follow along in your Bibles tonight, and hopefully we'll learn a little bit about God's Word. As I usually do, I start out with a question. Tonight it is, how many friends do you have? Well, the attendance tonight is probably about 130 or so, right? So you have at least that many. That's a start, right? But how many close friends do you have? How many friends do you have that you would call close or best friends? Probably just a select few, right? Probably friends that you call on for help when you need something. Friends that you would call and say, hey, I'm moving. Can you help me move? That's a great call to get sometimes if you have a good back. Maybe you only have one friend. Maybe your spouse is your friend. Maybe you think you have no friends. We all fall into one of those categories, so you have to pick one. Well, tonight you definitely have me as a friend. Don't get too excited. I'll tell you in a minute why that's not always a good idea. First, I want to start out with, what is a friend? Friend, as defined by the American Heritage Dictionary, is a person whom one knows, likes, and trusts, an acquaintance. A person with whom one is allied in a struggle or cause, a comrade. Someone that has something similar with you, right? There's something similar there. If you're here tonight and you consider me a friend, I'll apologize right now and say, I'm sorry. Now, why would I do that? Because I know I make mistakes. We all do, right? We all make mistakes. I've let people down in the past. I've said things that were hilarious in my head, but didn't come out so funny. I'm not always the most thoughtful person. Just ask my wife. But I'm working on it, as probably most of you are too. And thank you for your patience. All right, so you've ruled me out. Who else is left? Who can you call a friend that you can trust 100% of the time and never let you down, ever? Good luck, right? That's pretty hard to find. You might think that your family is pretty close to that, that you could trust them 100% of the time to come through when you need them and never let you down. Those of you that are still living at home with your parents are experiencing that probably. But you have to realize that you're not always going to be with your family. They're not always going to be there. Hopefully someday you'll move out of the house and you'll be on your own. And at some point you might call them and ask for help, but it may not be there. At this point, you kind of need a friend, right? Maybe you already have a friend. Maybe you have several. Maybe you need another one. How do you find another friend? How do you do that? Might not be as easy as you think. We're also going to look at where do you look for a new friend, because that's very important. So let's look at why. Why do you need a friend? Proverbs 27, verse 9 says, "Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel." That's not exactly my kind of manly encouragement, but it works. You get the idea. But what he's saying here is a friend can give you advice that you may not have thought of, to a solution to some problem you're dealing with, and help you out, right? Unfortunately, that's one of the things that the internet is killing, right? Because you can go on the internet and find answers to just about everything. YouTube has instructional videos on whatever you can think of. Is it always good advice? No. Social media is full of people telling you how something should work or what you should do. Moving on. Why do we need a friend? Proverbs 27, verse 17. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. When we have a friend that we talk to, hopefully we encourage each other, right? We're encouraging to each other. We sharpen each other. We make each other better. That's kind of the goal, right? Make each other better. As Josh read for us, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up." Two are better than one, right? Especially when you're trying to accomplish a goal. When you're trying to do something. Two people are better than one trying to do it on their own. If you need help, you call somebody, right? Because he says here, if one falls, the other will lift him up. We help each other out. That's what a friend does. That's why you need a friend. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing." He's encouraging them to continue what they're doing. Continue to build each other up. Why do we need to be built up? There's got to be a reason, right? We need to be built up. It's because the world's tearing us down, right? Daily. The world is tearing us down. Trying to hold us down, hold us back. We need each other to build each other up. Colossians chapter 3. And beginning in verse 12. "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another." Why do we need to bear with one another? Well, it goes back to what I said, that we're not all perfect. We make mistakes. Friends do things that you might not like. Does that mean you throw them away and they're no longer your friend? No, hopefully not. He says, "And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." We know there's different levels of love in the Bible. And this is talking about a love that could apply to just about anything, really, that if we love someone else, they're probably our friend, right? They would have to be. The love is what binds it together, that holds together that relationship. If you have a friend that you really don't like, what's holding that relationship together? There's got to be something there, right? He's telling us that love binds that together. It's going to bind that relationship and hold it together. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We have to help each other out. That's just something that we need, whether we want to admit it or not. That's kind of the hardest part, isn't it? Admitting that we need help. Admitting that we have a burden that we need help bearing. We can't always do it on our own. And we have to take the initiative to ask someone. Because unlike most of us really think, people cannot read our minds. I try to read my wife's mind every day. It still doesn't work. We have to talk to each other and ask for help. Be willing to ask for help. Again, that's usually the hardest part about it, is just asking someone, hey, I need some help. Can you help me with this? I'm having a hard time. I'm struggling. Speak up to someone. Say something to someone. That's important. So we know the why. I'm pushing the wrong button. What's the where? Where do you find a friend? Where can you find a friend? Well, we probably all remember from our childhood, or maybe you still do it, this guy. Where's Waldo? Right? The guy with the red and white striped shirt. And you see one of these pictures, and you're like, I got nothing. I can't find him. In fact, I'm not even sure he's in this one. I just copied it off the internet. But the internet's always right, right? He's got to be there somewhere. There's a lot of red and white stripes in there. I don't know. I can't find him. The problem is, it's hard to find. That's my point. Finding a friend is very similar. It can be very hard to find a good friend. Where do we look? Do you know where to look? If you're at school or you're at work, is that where you're looking for a friend? Because, honestly, you're around those people a lot. A lot of hours in your week and in your day are spent with the people that you either go to school with or you work with, right? Unless you're retired and then you do your own thing, maybe. Are those the people that are a good choice for friends? Not usually. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Very simple verse, but how many of us really pay attention to it and really listen to that? Bad company ruins good morals. It sounds simple, and it kind of is, but that's very complicated. Why is it complicated? Well, if it wasn't complicated, first of all, we wouldn't be deceived. And he says you can be deceived. He's telling us don't be deceived. Don't think that it's okay to hang out with people you know you shouldn't. Right? We're telling ourselves we're not affected by the friends or the people that we're with that are drinking, smoking, or doing drugs, or doing things that we know we shouldn't be doing. If you think that that's okay, you're deceiving yourself. Sure, we have a strong will. We can resist the temptations, right? That's what we tell ourselves. But eventually, you'll start to question some things. It's hard to really tell where that's going to start. It might start with saying, well, maybe drinking's not that bad. Or maybe evolution's right. Maybe they're right about this. I could see that perspective. They're having an effect on you, right? Before you know it, you're doing what everyone else is doing. Maybe not all of it, Maybe you're not doing everything that they're doing. You're probably doing some of it. 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Do not love this world or the things in the world. We have to live in this world, but we're not to be of the world. We're not to take part in the things that the world does. So does that mean we never talk to anyone at school? We never talk to anyone at work? We just keep to ourselves and don't say anything, don't talk to them. We know there's bad people out there. Ignore them completely. No, we can't do that. That's not reasonable. Besides, if you did that, how would you ever teach anyone? We have to talk to people to teach them. Strike up a conversation about religion, about the Bible. We have to do that, right? So we have to talk to people. We have to find a balance, find the limits of that. And the things that we talk about in casual conversation, we can bring up things like morals and church and God. People are not going to really drag you out and stone you. That's not going to happen. Well, I mean, anything's possible. Most people are not going to do that. Most people are actually willing to talk about stuff like that. Most people won't shut you down. Most people will respond to you and have a conversation about those things. People might surprise you if you try it. So what do you do if you can't find a friend? If you've tried and you're like, I just don't get along with people. I don't really like anyone. People aggravate me. Can't find anybody that has similar things like I do, like similar interests. What do you do if you go to school with a bunch of heathens? None of them are a good influence on you. None of them are very religious. None of them seem like they care about God or heaven or their eternal soul. Well, you know where you are then, right? You're in the world. That's what the world does. So where can we look? Look to the church. Again, dozens of people are here that will be your friend. We believe the same things. That's a starting point, right? We believe the same things. Will we all have the same likes and interests? No, probably not. Will we drive each other nuts sometimes? Yeah. Probably. Then why would we want a friend in the church? Our faith is the same, right? It should be anyway. Our goal is the same. We all want to get to heaven. That's our goal. We have something in common. Why would we want a friend in the church? We're on the same team, right? Philippians chapter 1, 27. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. We should be working together, right? Standing firm in one spirit. Again, are we always going to see eye to eye on 100% of everything? No. We'll talk about that more in a minute. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2. Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Doing our best to get along. Right? That's what he's trying to tell us here. We're on the same team. We all are trying to do the same thing. Friends change over the years, right? People change. Two people that got along great 20 years ago may not get along so well today. Why is that? Well, we change. Our likes change. Our interests change. Our families change. Our jobs change. Sometimes it changes who we are. Sometimes it changes our personality. Can we fix that relationship? Some people say, no, well, they're two different people now. You can't really change that. I disagree. I think you can. I think you can. In a marriage, your spouse should be your friend, right? Our spouse is our friend. Can two people in a marriage grow apart as friends? Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Why? Why does that happen? Well, maybe they're not friends anymore. Maybe they grew apart. They have different interests and likes. Do we always have to do everything that our spouse does, like everything our spouse does? No. How do we fix that, though? If we think, we're kind of growing apart a little bit, we should probably do something about that. What do you do? Well, sometimes you have to start back at the beginning of when you became friends, right? Make a new friend with your spouse. If you're that far apart, talk to each other. Learn more about each other. What are your interests? What do you like now? What's different about you? What's your favorite color? What do you do when a friend becomes distant and you don't have that much in common anymore? Do you give up? No. No, you shouldn't. Learn about each other. We can't just give up. It takes effort. Sometimes a lot of effort. It's going to take work. We have to put the effort into that. Last week, Don brought up Romans 14 and how we shouldn't argue over opinions. It's probably one of the least used passages when it comes to marriages. Romans 14, verse 1. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. Does this apply directly to marriage? No. Does that mean we can quarrel over opinions in marriage? That's not a good idea. Not a good idea. We should do our best to not fight over opinions. Right? Down in verse 7 of Romans 14, none of us lives to himself and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, and he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Regardless of what our spouse does, regardless of what our friends do, we are to live for the Lord. As Christians, that is our job. That is our responsibility. No one else can do that for us. So why are we to live for the Lord? Because the Lord is our friend. He is our friend. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. The Lord is our friend. John chapter 15 and verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. We don't have to search the earth for a friend. We have one right in front of us. He's always there waiting for us. No matter how many times we quarrel with him, no matter how many times we fight with him, how do we fight with the Lord? Every time we sin, right? Every time we sin, we're fighting against him. We're arguing with him. No, I want to do it my way. I want to do this anyway. I know you've said no, but I want to do this anyway. We fight against him. No matter how many times we turn our back on him, he's always waiting to welcome us back. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to give up on us. Ever. You know, when you have a friend that is falling away and they're not coming to church anymore, or you can tell there's something off, something's wrong, what do you do? Do you ignore that? You say, well, I'll let them sort that out on their own. I'll let them figure it out. Is that a good plan? No. If you're a friend of them, you go and seek them out. Encourage them. Help them realize what they're doing. Because honestly, most people don't realize what they're doing. When they fall away, they don't realize what they're doing. They don't wake up one day and say, well, I think I'm done with the church. That usually doesn't happen. It's a gradual process that happens over time. We can't give up on them either. We have to do something to encourage them. The Lord is never going to give up on us. And we can't give up on him either. You probably know the Footprints of Jesus poem. Most of us have probably heard it, but I think it's a good reminder in this situation. And I'll just read the poem here. It says, one night, by the way, this is kind of a condensed version. There's a lot of versions out there on the internet, so I couldn't find the one that was right because I couldn't find the actual author. That's the way it goes. But this is the poem that I found. It says, one night I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Scenes from my life flashed across the sky. In some of the scenes, I saw only a single set of footprints. I said, Lord, you promised me you would walk with me always. Why, when I needed you most, would you leave me? The Lord replied, my precious child, I love you and would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. He's always there for us. If you need a friend, he's there. He's available. We have to put the effort out, though. We have to seek him out as a friend. We have to put in the work to find him. He's waiting for us. The scriptures tell us everything about him that we need to know. We just have to look for it. That's where we should be looking for a friend. Anytime you need a friend, that's where you should go. Right? What if you've given up on the Lord? What if you gave up on him? And you're just going through the motions? What do? You have to change that, right? Renew that relationship again. Start at the beginning again. Learn more about him. It's the same thing as if we lost a friend. Or if we think we're losing a friend. Learn more about him. Reading the scripture, that's how we learn about him, right? What he can do for us. What we should be doing ourselves. If you realize tonight that you've done that and you need to fix your life, you have sin in your life that you need to repent of, do that now. Don't put it off. Don't resist him again as a friend. If you've never become a Christian, then all the benefits that we talked about of having a friend and the things that will come with that, you really don't have that with the Lord. You don't have those benefits. The only way to have those benefits and have the Lord as your friend is to be baptized for the remission of your sins and follow after him. He will never leave you, but you have to take that first step. You have to take the initiative to become a Christian, to be baptized, to wash away your sins. Whatever you need to do, I encourage you to do that now. Come to the front as we stand and sing.